Thank you. We are first going to talk about Suricata, and then we'll give a break, and after that we'll start exercising on search algorithms. If we don't finish today, we should continue next week. So this is a very important topic, and we are going to spend some resources on this. Okay. So we finalize first the lecture. We have talked a lot about Bro, and we have talked a lot about Snort. On Suricata, we are not going to spend so much time because the concepts behind Suricata are more or less the same as those behind Snort. In addition, the new version of Snort, Snort 3, will implement more or less the same concepts as Suricata is implementing today, and as such, they will be almost equivalent. So far, the Snort 3 is in the alpha phase, development phase, which means it is a working software, but it's not explored well yet, so there may be changes. In the future, once they get into the operational phase, then we can say that Suricata and Snort are extremely similar. And you will see that they are really similar. So Suricata is also an open source intrusion detection and prevention system, which is built using the same principles as Snort. The most important of these principles is exact matching of known attack patterns. So it's a typical misuse-based system. It can use Snort rules, so they are compatible. It can also use additional parameters that are specific for Suricata, but they avoid using this because of the compatibility issues. So they would like to use the same rules as Snort. This compatibility offers possibilities for wide usage because there is a third-party organization that maintains the rule set, which we have seen that in the case of Bro is not the case. And because of that, Bro signatures haven't been used so much. Please. So whenever you move, the lights are on, which is very bad for the backup recording. The main recording works well when it works. The greatest advantage of Suricata over Snort currently is the multi-threaded operation. So Snort 2 doesn't use multi-threading. Because of that, Suricata is faster. Because modern processors have several cores, and this can be used for multi-threaded, almost parallel operation. So we get better performance without incorporating the system in a distributed architecture like Snort. You can achieve efficiency by incorporating Snort and also Bro in distributed architectures. In the Bro case, it's cluster. In the Snort case, we have seen that you may have sensors, servers, and consoles, but you don't need that with Suricata. The authors claim that Suricata is capable of handling data and traffic rates of several gigabit per second. As we said, Snort 3 will be multi-threaded, but it's not finished yet. Now, Suricata as Snort can be used as packet interceptor and logger, but why should you use that when you have Wireshark and better tools for that? So, in the beginning of development of Snort, it had some importance, but today, not so much. Suricata can automatically detect many protocols like HTTP, which is important, and the others as well. It can perform HTTP reassembly with the extraction and decoding of these gzip files, if they are attached. It can support so-called flow variables. So with these flow variables, you can capture some information and use it in the future. So very similar to what Bro does. But Bro, of course, has the whole concept behind that, and this is just an add-on, these flow variables. Extensive logging of HTTP connections is possible. The output formats can include also Snort, Unify 2, etc., etc. Because of that, it's so compatible with Snort. You can interchange it
with Snort.
The components of Suricata follow the general IDS-IP scheme. You have preprocessor, you have detection module, you have LF filter, etc., etc., but the realization is different because of multi-threading. And on the slide 159, you have this, you have several detectors, you see, and they run in threads. And you have packet decoder and stream application layer instead of preprocessors in Snort. And you have logging and alerting component. So the concept is similar, but the realization is different. So as it is multi-threading in Suricata, the operation of each of the modules can often be considered parallelized. And in all configurations of the system, the detection module is parallelized. But not the others. They may be, but not always, but the detection module is always in threads. The traffic capture is the same as with Snort. It can be IP cap, it can be used DAC, and DAC is important because in Suricata, in the IPS mode, you can use this RFQ, you can use these exotic things like IPF ring and IPFW, so because of the efficiency of capturing traffic. If you want to capture gigabits per second, you must do it more intelligently than with just one leap cap. The raw packets, similar to Snort, are collected by the packet capture interface and decoded. So they have packet decoder as well. And this packet decoder serves to extract specific protocol elements that are relevant for intrusion detection. Then, after that, we have stream reassembly, if needed. If the protocol is such that you need stateful operation. Then you have the detection module threads where the detection is performed. And finally, you have the logging and alerting module, which produces logging information and sends it to the predetermined output device. It can be Barnyard 2 and then base, as we have seen in the exercises with Snort. It can be the same. The operation, as we said, of Suricata is different from that of Snort because of multi-threading. Each thread can consist of several so-called thread modules, which perform elementary operations, which are decoding of a packet, the detection, the outputting, and maybe some others, but these three are the most important. So each thread module does all of this. Now, a packet can be processed by more than one thread, but not at the same time. For this, we have a queue where we pass a packet to wait until it is processed by the next thread. But multiple packets can be processed at the same time, instant, by several threads. So if it is a single packet, you cannot analyze it on two threads, for example. But you have two packets, you can analyze them in parallel with threads. How the threads are organized in Suricata? They are organized through these run modes. The run mode depends on the packet capturing method. And for each capturing method, there might not be just one run mode available, there might be several. And the run modes are like this: auto, auto FP, single, single thread. You see, you can run it as Snort. And workers in a multi-threaded, in a distributed architecture. You can put it in distributed architecture, so you have a multiplication of the number of sensors times the number of threads. Then it's even faster than a single Suricata. Default is PCAP and single. You see, so when we do it on the exercises, we should do that because we don't have resources for the others. Especially what the authors have tested are the combination of this AF packet capturing method and auto FP run mode, which turned to be very efficient in Suricata, which is this on the slide 166. So what you have is the flow pin Q. See? And then you have threads. Each thread doing packet acquisition and decoding in parallel, as many as you have. And then they wait these decoded packets, their turn, to be dispatched in these other threads where you have stream reassembly, detection, and logging, all in parallel. So the queue actually manages all this. So this can be configured to work very fast in Suricata.
Are the errors there on the bottom two of wrong then? Shouldn't it be from the flow pin then to the
queue? No, because they all communicate through this queue. So everything goes to Q, and there might be bidirectional. That's true. In the data pre-processing phase of Suricata, we have packet decoding, stream reassembly if necessary, depending on the protocol, and automatic application protocol detection, which is something that we have seen in Bro. The structure of the data preprocessing module is very similar to that of Snort. So we are not going to talk too much about that. So we have automatic protocol detection, where Suricata tries to detect application layer protocols automatically, not only on the basis of the port number. So that's something that we have seen in Bro. The packet decoding is very similar to the Snort scheme, but how they are done is completely different from Snort because they can do it in threads as well. Typical functionality of this packet decoding is one thread module for decoding of a packet, another thread module for detection, and a third thread module for producing the output data. And as is Snort, you have the root decoders and the chain decoders. So you have root decoders, Ethernet, point-to-point, point-to-point over Ethernet, raw, etc., etc. And the chain decoders are IP, TCP, UDP, whatever. They are activated within the root decoders. That's the same as Snort. In every chain protocol decoder, other chain protocols, that's why they are called chain. For example, TCP is activated from the IPv4 or IPv6. And then you can have activation of the higher level protocol from a lower level. That's the chain protocol processing. Now, the same as with other IDS, you may have inconsistencies in protocol implementation, and because of that, this system can also generate decoding events. So this is very similar to the operation of Bro. The final product of the decoding process is a special structure, which is called packet with underscore, which contains the elements that are relevant for intrusion detection that are extracted from the raw packet data. For example, the source and the destination address, the source and the destination port, the protocol, the flags. So everything has some field here in the packet structure. Now, how does Suricata process information? Through flows, which are actually the same as sessions in Bro. So flow is more or less the session. Sequence of contiguous packets between the source and the destination IP address. And for the same reason as for any other IDS, which is format incompatibility, errors in traffic, attempts to evade IDS, which is very important, a flow cannot be directly processed by the detection module. So in the pre-processing stage, we have to reconstruct the data stream that belongs to a flow, if it is necessary, if it is a multi-packet protocol, stateful operation. We have to recognize the application protocol. Is it HTTP or something else? We have to normalize the data stream. The final product is a list of keywords that can be used for matching specific protocol fields. And this is the same as what is in the rules. For example, connection established. So this is what you get. As with Snort, in Suricata we also have target-based fragmentation reassembly. Also stream operation is the same, TCP. So the IP and TCP, they obey this target-based fragmentation reassembly. So the data are reassembled the same way as on the destination host. So if the destination host is Windows, then it is reassembled to be the same as what is done in Windows. If it is some specific Unix version, it is reassembled for this, because it's different all the time. Oh, sorry, I got an assistant, but I thank you for this. Who has moved? Okay. So, the reconstruction process, this reassembly, is carried out through the communication layers. We start with IP layer. We do the defragmentation, which is specific for IP. We eliminate invalid packets, if any, with bad checksums, etc., etc. Then the transport layer, where we have target-based stream reassembly, the same as in Snort. If there are invalid elements of this stream, they are also eliminated. And the results of this are processed at the transport layer in what we get is the data stream, which is the reassembled packets of a session, which is used in protocol detection. We have that on a scheme that we are going to see a bit later. The final processing is the application protocol analysis and keyword breakdown. So for example, for the HTTP protocol, we get GET, POST, whatever. So keywords and their values. And once we get the keywords, they can be directly matched in the rules, because the rules contain these keywords. And this is how it looks like on the slide 178. So we have the original sequence of packets, and in this example, the packet number 3 is invalid. There is something wrong with it, technically. So we have to eliminate this one, and we reassemble the information on the TCP level like this, 1, 2, and 4. 3 is not used at all. So we get this information in the further step of processing. We get this getindex.html and the packets, and from this we extract the keywords. So that's application layer processing, where we get the get method. The file which is opened, index.html, and the normalized data. The detection model of Suricata is the same and has the same role as that of Snort. So it compares headers and, if necessary, content of the payload of the analyzed packet or a stream with the signatures the system is aware of, so it's the same as in Snort. This module always uses multithreading, implements the matching algorithm, which is Ahokorasi by default. In the earlier versions, and that's why we have mentioned this in the class, they use this BNDMQ. That's the fastest known search algorithm. The thing is that it is fast on average. That's a skip algorithm, and because of that, we said that algorithmic attacks can be launched against this. So we can force this algorithm to perform poorly. That's why it's not continued to be supported. So currently we have Ahokorasi, but implemented in a very special way to be fast as possible. And these are the implementations. The Ahokorasi DFA, you see, So in Snort, the default is NFA. Now we can have NFA as well, but implemented in a different way. So it's called go-to-failure binary search implementation. But it's essentially AhoCoraSec. It's just some optimizations. And we have AhoCoraSec DFA that implements binary search at processing of the input string. So it's a kind of optimization of the DFA. So anyway, it's AhoCoraSec more or less. We are going to exercise today a bit of this, but so we'll get, you will refresh your memory. The rules in Suricata have the structure and the format that are the same as those of Snort, and the full compatibility is assured. In addition to that, Suricata can use some keywords that are not used in Snort, for example, this flow int. Flow bits are present in Snort, but this is something further. So you can have integers, not just bits, 0 or 1. So with flow bits, you can indicate presence or absence of something, but not more. In the logging and alerting phase, we have similar capabilities to those of Snort, unified tool compatibility. Because of that, you can use Barnyard and Base after that. Syslog is also possible. Text human readable output as well. And we have HTTP logging independent of intrusion detection. And why is that? Because HTTP analysis library, it was imported in Suricata from a third party. So they didn't develop it by themselves. So there was a library called HTTP. So they put it on Google and see who did it. But Suricata was using that in the beginning. I don't know what they are doing now, probably the same. So anyway, they have HTTP logging separate from the others. Suricata, as well as Snort, needs post-installation adjustments. And why is that? We know that there is no such a thing as a general IDS, so we have to adjust the parameters of our IDS to the necessities in our network. Since Snort and Suricata are essentially the same, the adjustment process follows the same lines as that of Snort. So you can optimize rules, you can optimize the detection, you have to eliminate dropping packets first, then you have to reduce the number of false positives, and finally, if everything fails, you can use custom rules. Performance monitoring and tuning in Suricata is also possible. Actually, by default, it activates the performance tuner because Suricata is still in a relatively early phase of development compared to that of Snort, and they have a lot of debugging information. And one of these possibilities that is offered is performance statistics, and they do it very often, this display of statistics. You will see that in the exercise. We are going to list these files. So get this information about CPU consumption, what rules consume what, etc. So this is done by default. In Snort, you have to activate this preprocessor. Performance tuner is a preprocessor in Snort that is not activated by default because it also consumes some resources. So that will be about Suricata. We give a short break now. And then we are going to start with the exercise on search.
Say 10:45, okay?
Yes.
So finally, which software is the better one for you?
I would use Snort 3 if I could, but it's still not available. Fully. You can use it, but there are bugs. So Suricata is very good, it's fast. Now let's see what we have recorded. Very interesting. It complains that there is no sound recording, but there is. Okay, so we have a break. Okay, let's start with the exercise. Today's exercise is about search algorithms that we have been talking about before. So we are going to browse through some examples. There is a lot of calculation here, and you will see that this exercise material has 30 pages for a couple of examples. I have run all the algorithms here step by step. This is for your reference. Of course, in the class we are not going to do the same because that would take several hours. We don't have so much time. But I'm going to explain the basic things. I let you do a couple of steps by yourselves, and then we continue with the next example. If it is okay with you, we will start with the first one with Aho Korosik. So we'll do two examples with Aho Korosik. The first one is actually what we had in the class. So we have the string snort on snow, which is the search string. And we have a set of patterns, snort, snow, and or. If you remember that, we did that in the class. Now, in the class, we actually didn't execute these algorithms, and we are going to do that now. How do we get the go-to function and the failure function and the output function for this case? We have displayed the algorithm in the class, and that's the one. Construction of the go-to function, what you see on the screen. This is more or less that. So you don't see the input, but you know the input is the search string and the set of search patterns. And this is what is done, and we are going to execute this step by step. Basically, what it does is take each pattern, and then for each pattern produce a path in the graph, browsing through the states that didn't exist before. If they existed before, they actually just hop over them and create the first one that they can. So this part is creating the path. You see, and this part is, the previous part to this, is hopping over the existing states, if any. So in the beginning, the graph is empty, so that is okay. So at the end, you have to add a loop in the state zero. So that's what we have seen in the class, and now let's do it step by step. So in our case, we have three patterns, so n is three, and the set y consists of three, of n elements, which is three, snow, snort, and or. The new state is 0, that's an auxiliary variable. This counter I equal to 1, auxiliary variable, and then for the first pattern that we are searching for, we take it and extract the characters out of it. So we have these alphas in the algorithm. So let yi be alpha 1, alpha 2, to alpha m. M is the length of the pattern. So in our case, M is 4 for snow, you see, S, N, O, N, W. So we have 4 characters here, and we start processing, okay? Now, if anybody moves, then we have to switch off the light. So, what we do is this, following exactly the procedure. Maybe it would be a good idea to not scroll so much, but we can switch between the display of the algorithm, which is in the lecture slide. I hope you can see it. It's a bit smaller than this one, but it's the same algorithm. So you see, you have the pattern, its characters, 1 to n, and you first do this part. Following the algorithm, state is 0, so we are in the root. The counter j is 1, so we try to match the first character, alpha 1, you see? So g of 0 s, is there any state to which we can go from 0 when we receive the character s? Not yet, because we don't have anything but 0 state. So we'll get failed here. Okay? Because the graph is still empty. Now, since we have reached the fail immediately, then this k will go from 1 to 4. And which part of the algorithm is that? It's actually this part. Because k goes from j to m. For j equal to 1, we have already reached the fail, so there is no state. We have to create the whole path. All the state that belong to this particular pattern. So it will be our second while loop, in which each time for each k, you create a new state and put it in the graph. That's essentially what we do. So state is new state plus 1. New state was 0 because there was just one state, the root. We add 1, so the new state will be called 1. And then we put in the graph g of state, which is now 0, and alpha 1, which is now s, equal to new state, which is now 1. So the transition at the input character s will be from 0 to 1. That's what this instruction is saying. So we have created, actually, by this, so before we just had a 0 state. Now s has arrived, where to go from s? So this thing here, this part here, it says create a state number 1. That's this new state. You see, the new state was 0, now it is 1. And now create the transition. That's what we have done with this instruction. So in the graph, that will be, by the way, represented in this algorithm as a matrix in which you have transitions, 0, 1, 2, etc., etc., 0, 1, 2. So where do you go from 0? You can go anywhere from 1, maybe you can go to 2, etc., etc. So we are going to see that. And the transitions that will not exist in the graph, they will be encoded in the matrix by a fail, f. So there is no transition from that state. You will see the matrix at the end. The matrix corresponds to the graph. So this is how the graph is memorized. Not as a graph, because it's a graphical representation of this matrix. So you cannot put it on a computer as such. You have to encode it somehow. The matrix encoding of a graph is very inefficient. It's memory consuming. That's why the optimization of Aho-Korasik always have to do something with optimization of how you represent this graph. Okay, so the next thing, so we have to pass through SNOW, okay? That's our first. So the next one is N. So you create a new state, you do the same. Create a state 2 and consume N. Then the same, state 3, consume all, and state 4, consume W, okay? So that's what this part is doing. So by means of this part of the algorithm, we have created one path. So for each of these patterns, you will have a separate path. Now, that would be simple if the patterns would not overlap. But in our case, we have an overlap. So we shall see what happens. At the end, you just put an output function value, snow, assigned to this state, 4. So that was the first pattern. Now, the algorithm says, once you have done this,
update the output, we have done that, and then try another pattern. After we switch off the light. So, try another pattern, which in our case is snort. So we have the characters, S-N-O-R-T, M is 5 in our case, there are 5 characters in this. And we do the same. So is there a transition at the character S? There is. So it's not fail, so we go further. So we go here, from 0 to 1. We don't create this again. So that's different from when we created this path. Because now transition for S already exists in the graph. So we are still in the first part of this loop. It says, while it is not fail, go to the next state at this character. Okay? So this is what we do. So we first try S, there is no failure, so we go to the next state, which is 1. Now we try N. No fail, because we can still consume N from snort. Also for O, now it will fail. For R. You see, for R, we get failure, which will take us to the second while loop. Takes us here. But we go from J to N. You see, from the state where the failure happened. From here. So, case 4 and 5, not 1 to 4 as before in the previous pattern. So we have, for case 4, the new state is 5, and we create the transition from 3 to 5. See, the failure happened here, so we create a transition in 5, and the character is R. And then, the next thing, K is 5, you see, create T. The state will be 6, you see, and transition will be on T. And also, the output here, as we did here. The output will be snort. That will happen at the end of this second while loop. So this is how it works. You can try now to do it. I'll give you 5 minutes to do it with the third pattern, which is actually OR. You see? So I'm not going to display that, but well, I can. So you just try not to look at this and try to do it by yourself, how you would run this algorithm. So take the third pattern. And try exactly to follow this algorithm. So you always, after extracting the characters, you put the state 0, so you start from the root and try to find an existing path. It doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, create your own, a new one. Of course, if I give you something of this on the exam, you will not be obliged to know the algorithm. You will be given the algorithm, and in addition, I don't think I shall give you everything. So I'll give you a couple of steps to perform something like that. So, or ask you a question, what will be the next state, or something like that. So if you know the algorithm, you will be capable of answering it. That also holds for the other algorithms that we are going through in this course. So if there is some formula that is to be used or an algorithm, you will actually get a sheet with formulas together with the exam questions. Formulas and algorithms. What do you think? Would there be useful for you to organize a sample exam or something, trial exam?
Yeah.
We did it with crypto.
Yeah,
you like it.
Okay,
yes. So we can arrange something like that, but that must happen on Saturday. Some Saturday. Because the exam is 5 hours.
What?
Exam is 5 hours long. You will have to reserve a Saturday for this. So I'll give you sample questions, how the exam would look like, and then you'll try to solve these problems. And you will have 5 hours.
And you will need these 5 hours for the whole exam, or?
Yeah, the exam is 5 hours long.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay, so I hope that you have been able to process our third pattern. So that was actually the go-to function algorithm. So once it completes with the whole set of patterns, it just adds a loop, and the loop is just putting zero as the destination of from the source zero in except of the first characters of the patterns. And this is what you get. This is the graph. This matrix has one-to-one correspondence with the go-to graph, which means if you are in the state zero, and the character A arrives, you are not expecting A, so you return to zero and wait for either O or S, because our patterns begin with an O or with an S. So you see, since there are so many characters on which the pattern machine will return to the original state, when you implement this as a DFA, as we said in the lecture, you will not get much, because most of the time the machine stands in zero. If it were some other application, it might be different, but in the IDS case, this is the case, and this is typical here, you see? So the machine is at zero all the time, almost. Now, suppose that an O arrives, then it transitions to the state 7. Which is actually what you had to produce from here, 7 and 8, if you remember. Yeah? Now, if an S arrives, it goes to 1. And that's all from the state 0. What about state 1? State 1 makes a transition to some other states only if N arrives. All the other cases, you see, are F. It's not zero. Zero is a state. But F is undecided. Which means, if you are at the state 1 and some other characters that is not an N arrives, then you get this fail signal, failure signal, and you have to consult the failure function to see what to do. But we haven't produced the failure function yet. That's by means of the second algorithm. The same for the others. From the state 2, you can go to the state 3 if an O arrives, etc., etc. So sometimes, so it's a small number of transitions, more or less, compared to the size of the matrix. So there are so many F letters here, which means it's very inefficient to store the matrix like this. If the matrix is big, you will waste a lot of memory for this. Because of that, there are many ways to store a sparse matrix like this, and one of them we have seen, this banded row format, if you remember. The output function has empty sets on states that are not related to the whole path, snow, snort, or ore. You see, there is something missing here. In the state 5, you should also produce ore, isn't it? But you cannot do it with the algorithm 1. Algorithm 1 only produces the output on the end of the path. So snow here, snort last, no, end for last node. So we are going to update this function, the output function, when we execute the algorithm 2, which is the next step. Now, the next step is we run this algorithm. This one is tricky, actually, because it's a kind of traversing graph in the breadth-first manner. For this, you have to know something about queues. So Q is a FIFO structure. So there is some kind of explanation here. So Q is a FIFO structure, first in, first out. You see, the operation plus on Q means inserting an element as the last position in Q, and the operation minus means taking out the first element of Q. So the Q is a structure like this. So when you put something in the Q, you put it on the last position. When you take something from the Q, you take it from the first position. So this Q serves to indicate when we are done with the whole graph. Now, while Q is not empty, we have to process the nodes or the vertices. And once the Q becomes empty, we stop. So we process our graph not in this manner. That would be depth first, but in this manner. So we have, for example, our graph is like this, 3, 4, and 5, 6, and then you should have produced this part, 7 and 8. With O and R. So this is our graph. Now, the processing of the second algorithm goes through the nodes at the level 1 first. And then when it finishes with these, then it takes the level 2, and then the level 3, and then the level 4, which is these two, and then the level 5. So it's called breadth first processing. So that's what we are going to do. In the beginning, the queue is empty, and for each alpha, such that the graph transits to something that is not the self-zero state, okay? Then you add it to the queue. So that means that that alpha, that character has been expected. So we are expecting in the beginning O or S. So we are waiting for those. If they are not here in the alphabet, then we just hop over them, and otherwise we put them in the queue. So what will be in the beginning? It will be 7 and 1 in the queue, because only for these we have transitions that are not to the self state 0. So we have a loop here. So if it is something that is not an S and not an O, we go back to 0. So we are not interested in that case. We are only interested in S or O. And we put them in the queue. So that's this first for loop here in our algorithm 2. Now, once we have made a queue, then we process it. So we say, let R be the next state in queue, which means the first position in the queue. Take it out from the queue, and for each alpha such that there is no failure, so there exists a transition, put a new element in queue, etc., etc. So this processing, we are going to see what it means by executing the algorithm. So in the beginning, the algorithm says empty queue, and we put 7 and 1, as we have seen that they are at the level 1, so we put them in the queue. 7 and 1. Okay? Now, the next loop will say what to do with this queue, this while loop. That's this part. So take 7 out of the queue because it's the first in the queue. What remains is 1 in the queue. Now, what is G of 7 and the character R? Because this is a transition, if we go to our matrix, so from 0 we go to 7 if O arrives and to 1 if S arrives. You see? And we are interested actually in the 7, sorry. The node 7. That was the first in the queue. You see, there is a transition, see? To R. If the character is R, the transition will be from 7 to 8. So, what is done is this. The transition is not empty, so there is no fail, so we put 8 in the queue. So it will be the next element to process. So it will be 1 and it will be 8. And 7 we have taken out from the queue. So these two remain in the queue. Okay, now the failure function is empty in the beginning, everything is 0. Now, F of R, the thing is that this R is not the same as this R. R is a variable and R under quotation marks is the character R. So it may be confusing in this particular example. So we can name this variable differently, but there are 26 letters. Sooner or later, some will crash with the character. So it depends on the example. We can use maybe Greek letters or something for this. Okay, so the queue is 1,8, and the state F of R is F of 7 is 0. Now, is it the case that we have a failure from this state? No, in our case, because we have a loop. Because of that, the failure function will be, F of 8 will be the transition from 0 at the character R. And it will be 0 because it's the first one. It's the it's a transition from the state 0. It's never fail because there is this loop here. So we have f of 8, the failure function. If we get here, what does it mean? If we are here and any character arrives, we see there are no transitions. So if we go to the table, that's the same. So we get in the eighth row, everything is F, you see? So what to do in that case?
what we should do, this algorithm defines.
It will say f of 8 will be g of 0 on the character r. So it will be 0, which means failure from here means we are going to go to 0 and try to match the character again. So that's if we get here and get the failure. So the second algorithm actually constructs this failure function. What to do in each of these states if a wrong character arrives. Now we have to update the output as well. So it will be the old output that was in the state 8 in this case, union the output of f of 8, the state to which it goes. And it will be all, because here it was all, the output, because that was the end of the path, and union 0. So that will be 4 again, no change. So that was processing of the vertex 7 that was the first in the queue. It was first taken out from the queue, and then the new vertex was added in the queue in this process. So if we go further, what is the next in the queue? It's 1, because our queue is now 1-8. It was 7-1 before. We eliminated 7, we took it first. 1 remained in the process, we added 8, but it is added at the end. So the next to process is 1. What remains in the queue is 8. We first check this. This is just this to the left. This information is the instruction from the algorithm. And this is when we substitute. So R is 1, alpha is N. You see? Because there is a transition from 1. And this character is N. We know this from the table, from the G table. So it's not a failure. You see? It's 2. Because of that, we take this 1, 2, and put it in the queue. So it will be next in the queue. So that's the same as we did with send, with the first one that we processed. Now, we have to compute the f. F for 2. So what happens if a wrong character arrives in the state 2? So first of all, we put this state is f of 1, which was 0. So at the first level, all the failure functions are 0. It must be, because you cannot go anywhere else from here, just to 0. You must go back. And there are no nodes between this node and the 0. Okay? So, is it a case that G of state, which is 0, and any character is a failure? No, because it is the loop. So there will always be some transition. So it's not the case. Because of that, we choose this branch. F of s is actually G of state alpha, which means F of 2 is G of 0 n. And G of 0 n, since we are not waiting for an n, is 0. So what will happen will be, if we are here and something arrives that is not an O, we shall get 2-0 and try to match that character. But that means that the character must be either S or O. If not, but O will not be, because otherwise we would not get a failure here. It's complicated, but that's how the algorithm will work. The next is 8. This one is interesting. You see, it will not do anything. You see, what remains in the queue is 8. So that's this node, 8. Now, you take it from the queue, remains 2 in the queue. Now, does it happen that G of this state and any character is something that is not fail. If you go to the table, G of 8 something should not be fail. It's not the case, because it's the last row in our matrix. It's always fail. See? Nothing happens. Because of that, we don't have any processing here. We just don't do anything. The next one is 2. Now Q is empty, but if it remains empty after the processing of this R equal to 2, then we'll stop the algorithm. So, but it will not happen, because there is something, some transition from this state. So from the state 2, if the character is 0, there is a transition. So we have to compute the failure function for 3. For the destination, no, that's how the algorithm works. So we said state is f of r, as usual, f of 2 is 0. Is it ever a case that there is failure from 0? No, because it cannot be because of the loop. But if we are in some other state, then it can be. That's why this check is present. Then we do as we did before, so we get our failure function for the 3. You see, it is 7, it's not 0. Now, O of 3, the output function, union O of F of 3, but both were empty, so we remain with empty. Then we have 3 in the queue, take 3. You see? Q is empty when we take 3 from it. Is there a state from 3 on some state transition from 3? There is. But there are 2. In this case, so there are 2, 4 or 2, 5. So we have to process each of them. First of all, take transition to 5. Okay. So put 5 in the queue, and do the same thing as before. State is f of the originating state, f of 3, which is 7. We have computed that before. So from 3, you don't go to 0, you go to 7. So this one actually is interesting, because you have to update the output function. It will happen that since from this you also have a transition with R, it will be the update of this output. So, we are here. State is f of 3, which is 7. Is the state 7 with some character, will it give a failure? No. It's not the case, because there is a transition. Because of that, we update the output, and of course we define the failure function of 5. It will be 8. So if we are here, and we get the character that is not a T, then we can go here. It doesn't make any sense, because after that we have to match some character from here. It's not possible to match anything, because everything from 8 is failure. There is no transition, but then we consult the failure function again. It will take us to 0, and then we can do something. So, as we said, this is simulation of NFA, and in NFA it's not just one transition per input symbol, it is several transitions, very often 2, but in this case it will be even 3. That's possible. Etc., etc. What is specific in this case, it is that we update actually even the output function with this. So this is where OR in our output function also appears. And since we had 2 branches from here, we have processed this one, but on W, it happens a similar thing. So we add the four in the queue. This is to be processed next. And after that, we are here. So in this case, state is 7, which was f of 3 again as before, but state of g of state and alpha is fail as before. Because of that, state is f of state. So it will be 0, and in our case, the failure function for f of 4 of this state will be 0. So when you try to execute that at home, it will be clear to you when you do it for the second time. So there are a couple of cases where nothing happens, because there is always a failure. This is usually from the ending of the path. So 4, 6, 8, so you will have to do and not have to do anything, but just add it in the queue, this state. And after all this processing, you get the failure function, which is in this case, from 3 you go to 7, from 5 you go to 8, from the others you go to 0. But even though you go from 3 to 7, if you don't happen to have R as a character, otherwise there will be no failure. You will get to 0 again. So this is just an intermediate step. There is no way of processing anything in the 7 that will not lead you to 0 in this particular case. So when do you go to 7? If you are at 3, the state 3, and you are expecting either W or R, and nothing of these two happens, for example, X arrives. Now this says, this is a failure, go to 7, okay? Now I'm going to 7, but in 7 I'm also expecting an R, and an X has arrived. Now in 7, we have a failure, so it says go to 0, and on 0 you can match X, you remain in 0. So it will be two transitions, not just one. In the case of 5, it says, if you are at 5, you are expecting a T. T hasn't arrived, so let's say that X has arrived. It says go to 8. Okay, but in 8 you cannot match anything. So you have to consult the failure table again. It says go to 0, and then you can match your X. So this is how it works. So this may be an exam question. You have to understand how this works. But it's not, of course, always. In the complicated graphs, it may be possible to match some character. The output function has been updated. You see, in the state 5, you get OR. That was not present after the execution of the first algorithm. So that was our first example. Before we go to the second one, we execute the pattern matching. This is piece of cake. So this is the algorithm, but you know intuitively how this works. So we can even hop over that, but I'm going to just execute a couple of steps. So snort.snow, we are in the state 0, and it's 13, so we try to match character by character. Okay, so that's the initialization of the algorithm. For the first character, is there a transition from the state at the character S? There is. It's a transition from 0 to 1. So it's not a failure transition, so we go to the state 1. Okay? The output is not produced because there is no output. The output is empty. Now, next character. Is there a transition on the character N from the state 1? Yes. We go further. SN. And then we ask again, is there a character transition from the state 2? If O arrives, there is. We go to the state 3. The next character that arrives is R. You see? It's not a failure transition, so we have followed the path S, N, O, R. Then the next one is T. No failure. Now, we produce output because it's not non-empty output related to the assigned to the state number 6. So we get snort for now. Now the next character is a space. For this we have a failure. We are here, we are not expecting anything, but still the space has arrived. And then we consult the failure function. F of 6 is 0. It says go to 0, try to match the space. Well, we are not expecting space in 0, but we have the loop, so we can wait in the state 0. So the next state will be 0. Then we get an O. So we can go here to the state 7, in which we are expecting R, but an N has arrived. Because of that, we have a failure. From 7, we go to 0, consulting the failure function. Try to match N. No, so we remain at 0. The next thing is a space. The same thing, we remain at 0 because we are expecting either S or O. And then an S arrives. Go to 1. Then N, then O, and then W. So we follow this path. And we produce snort. So the sentence was snort on snow. So we have produced two outputs, snort and snow, have been found in this search string. The next thing is to convert from NFA to DFA. This is very similar to the algorithm 2. So you have a queue and do it this way, bread first. The first thing to do is to enumerate all the symbols present in the all the letters that are present in the set of patterns. So if we have snort, or, and snow, the letters are S, N, O, R, T, W. I don't think there are more. So we enumerate them and put them in the set of symbols. And now, for each symbol, do this action, do something with the Q. Actually, you are traversing the transitions and the failure transitions, and you put them in the same list of possible neighbors of one vertex. And these neighbors will be, well, these successors will be listed and assigned to each of these vertices. And that's the product of the delta, that's the delta function, that's the product of the DFA, NFA to DFA transform. So let's try to do it. So in the first, you have Q empty and the symbols N, O, R, S, T, and W. You take the first symbol, N. So you say that the transition from 0 to N is possible. It is to remain in 0, okay? Now, if and then you take the next letter. The next letter is O. So there is a transition from 0 on O, and that's 7. And you put that in the queue. Then R, there is a transition on R, it's 0, so you don't care about this. So 0 doesn't count. Now, if the letter is there a transition from 0? If the letter is S, yes, it is to 1, you put it in the queue. If T, no, there is a transition to zero, and if W, no, there is a transition to zero. So now you have a queue after reviewing all the letters and transitions from the current state, which is zero, you have 7 and 1. So it's pretty much the same as you had with algorithm 2. Now what you do is take the first item from the queue, which is 7, and try the transitions from 7 at each letter. So you have N, O, R, S, T, and W, and see what happens. You can consult the failure function. So for example, if there is a transition from 7 on N, there is no transition, so we consult the failure function, and the failure function says go to 0. Okay? So we put it, we put 0 as the list of successors of 7. Then if the letter is O, what will happen? The same. No, we consult the failure function. The failure function says F of 7 on O from 7. Okay. It says F of 7 delta of 0 and O is 7. Okay. Then if it is R,
well, we should actually consult this failure function. So the letter is, this is the failure function, this one.
Now we are at 7, and in 7 we are expecting R, but R hasn't arrived, we are considering O. It says go to 0.
F of 7 is 0. It may be a kind of mistake. I'm going to check this. A typographic mistake. Let's see, we are Q is 7, 1, so we took 7
and we are listing the possibilities of going anywhere from 7. So we can go to 8. If S arrives, we consult the failure function, will be F of 7 will be 0, and then the value for 7 if S arrives will be 1. So it will be delta of F of 7 and transition on the character S, it will be 1. If T arrives, it will give 0, and if W arrives, it will be 0. So, to summarize this, what happens if we are at 7 and S arrives? We consult the failure function because it's a failure, and we say the delta, the DFA transition from the state 7, if S arrives, will be the value of, when we take, instead of 7, we take the failure function of 7, it will be 0, because the F of 7 is 0. And the character will be S, so the transition from 0, if S arrives, is 1. So we shall have delta of 7S will be the same as delta of 0S. So it will be the state 1. Why is that? Because this is the situation. We are at 7 and S, the character S has arrived. The failure function says go to 0. Okay? Now in 0 try to match S. And that's what you do. Go to 1. So that's what you get. From 7, the transition is possible to 1. That's this one. For this one, we should see, because it's the same. Now let's review it again. So what if we are at 7 and an O arrives? You see? The failure function says go to 0 and then try to match O. Yes. You see? It's an interesting thing. In DFA you may have loops. So this is not an error. it's actually you remain in the state set. So in DFA, this would look like this. It would be, if you are at 7, the first transition that is possible, if n arrives, go to 0. This is it. So, n. Okay? Now, if o arrives, it says, go to 7. Because you first consult the failure function, it is taking you to 0, and you try to match O, and then you get 7 again, which means you will get this. That's this one. Now, R has arrived. It says, go to 8. This was on O. This was on R. Okay? Then S has arrived, it says go to 1. The next one is T, it says go to 0. You see, you may have parallel edges. Also on W. It's a mess, you see? So DFA is very complicated. Now this matrix in which you encode this graph will not be sparse any longer. So you will use some memory for this, but the advantage of this is that it is faster, provided you don't have to wait too much in the state zero. Unfortunately, in the IDS, most of the time you are in the state zero, so it's almost not worth doing it. But in some other situations, and well, it depends on the context, it might be beneficial to convert from NFA to DFA. This is just from one state. And you can imagine, you here, if you have 8 states, so the graph would be really messy and difficult to follow. So you repeat this procedure for everything. So the algorithm actually does the same for each node in the queue until the queue becomes empty. So our queue was 1-8, now it is just 8. And then if there is a transition, you always put the corresponding node in the queue. In such a way the queue will not be immediately empty. But the procedure is always the same. So for the N letter, there is a transition. You put the destination vertex in the queue, and you define that the transition from this 1 to 2 is through the letter N. So that's the same as with G, with the NFA. So this is not a complicated case. The more complicated case is when you have to consult the failure function. For example, in this, if you are in 1, and an O has arrived, that's a failure. Now you have to consult the failure function. The failure function says f of 1 is 0. So delta will be, delta of 1 O will be the same as delta of 0 O. And it will be 7. So for 1 you will go to 7, etc., etc. So everything works like that. You try that as a homework to do it on foot manually, and at the end you will get this. So we have the current state, the input symbol, and the next state. For some reason the current state is empty. So it should be 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., etc. I don't know how this happened. I'm going to correct. This is a typo. So if we are at 0 and O arrives, we go to 1. If O arrives, we go to 7. If S arrives, we go to 1. If any other symbol arrives, we go to 0. Then you have 1 here. Imagine that it is 1 written here in the leftmost column. So from 1, if N arrives, it goes to 2. If O arrives, go to 7. You see, you don't have this on the graph, but you have it in this delta function when you execute the algorithm. If S arrives, go to 1. If any other letter arrives, go to 0. Etc. etc. So this is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8. So that was our first example. Let's have a break. So we start at 12:00.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, ah, good.
I
Okay, shall we continue? The next task is the same as the first one. So we are not going to browse through it. Just mention that in this case, this is also a case from the lectures. We have this attack with Rif and Anich. So we have two patterns, Rif and Anich, and the third string, Rif header ID is Akum Anich. So we have to find Rif and Anich in this one. And the procedure is the same. Run the algorithm 1, run the algorithm 2, and run the search. So you get the go-to transition function, the output function. Actually, this example is very simple. You just have two branches. You don't have overlap between Rif and Anich if they are not common letters. So it is almost trivial. But it will be a good exercise for you to try to execute this by hand. So all that you can do manually, and you will get the fail function and the output function and the go-to function. You can execute the algorithm and find these two patterns. So the procedure is the same as with the example one. Now I'm going to start with the bit parallelism. So we are going to concentrate on these because especially the shift-end and shift-or algorithms are very suitable for using intrusion detection, and they are fast. And they are not skip algorithms. Because of that, they are not sensitive to algorithm attacks, algorithmic attacks. That's why they are so important. On the other hand, understanding of these algorithms is a bit complicated, even though execution of the given algorithms is very easy. You don't think, you just follow the algorithm, you get the results, but maybe you will not know why the results are so. Because of that, in this exercise material, I have provided some additional information to help you understand. For example, with the bit masks, what does this bit mask mean? And that's given in this text that is next to it. So what would that mean? You recall the picture of a better match of the machine trying to match this string. So let's go through the first example. If the search pattern is origin and the search string is original, show how the shift-end bit parallel search algorithm finds the search pattern W in the search string S, which means execute the shift-end on this. And the next example is the same, but just do shift-or. So see the difference. So, we first have to define the bit masks. Now recall the lecture. Why is it possible to use bit mask? Because if you set what is a bit mask, it will have a 1 on the positions where this letter is present in the search pattern reversed. So for example, we are talking about the search pattern origin. Bit masks are always related to search pattern, not to the search string, and that's why it is good. It is possible to precompile it because we know search patterns, but we don't know the search strings in advance. So the search pattern in our case is origin. It has the letters O, R, I, G, and N. And for each of these letters, we have a separate bit mask. Now, this bit mask will have 1 at the position where this letter is present in the search pattern. For example, origin has O in the first position. That means 1 will be on the last position of the bit mask. So the reverse order. Now R on the next to last, and I on 2 positions, 2 and 4. You see, because there are 2 I's in the search pattern. Then we have a G, third position, and N, the first position. Now what does that mean? For example, let's say I.
has two positions. So active machines on the second and the fourth positions are, they always wait for an I. So this is actually history of search, this state of the search here. So if you have some one in this of these bits, that means that that machine has processed this many letters. For example, if it is on this position, the second position, it has processed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters in the history, and it's still active because it has recognized all the 5 letters. And once you get one in the first position, you will know that you have an occurrence. You have found the whole pattern. Okay, so let's process the characters from the search string S one by one, which means take O first. You use the formula, it's very simple. So the previous state of the search was all zeros. Nothing was active because we are starting. The character that has arrived is O. So shift left by one, which means eliminate the oldest machine. We don't have capacity for it in our parallel processor. Now, O with one means create a new machine that is active, waiting for what? What is this one waiting? It is waiting always for an O. The new machine always starts from the beginning. Huh? Now, if there were some active machines before, then they have to wait for the same character as this bit mask, because this bit mask actually determines which machines have to be tested. So BOO is 000001. So an active machine, that means exactly what is written here. An active machine on the sixth position always waits for an O. And because of that, if you have an active machine, it is waiting for an O because it is now active. If you execute this, you will get 000001 because O0 shifted by 1, that's also all zeros. Or 000001, you have created a new machine waiting for an O, and just an O has arrived. That means end with the bit mask of the current letter. So you get 000001. So you have the last bit active, so this machine is active after processing the first character. Now take the second one. What is the bit mask? The bit mask is 000010. So an active machine on the fifth position always waits for an R. Now, do we have active machines on that position? We may have, because we first have to shift, you see. The status word is this, shift left by one, which means eliminate the oldest machine. Now this one will be 000010, you see. Now or 000001, create a new machine waiting for an O. But the old machine, this one, is now on this position, it is waiting for an R, and R has arrived, so we end with 000010. So this one will die immediately because it's waiting for an O. But the second one is waiting for an R, so it will remain active. The next one is I. You see, you have two bits in this bit mask, 010100. Now, will it affect anything? We should see. First shift, you see. The status word was 000010, shift left by one, it will be 000100. Or with one, create the new machine. This new machine will wait for an O. And since I has arrived, it will die immediately, because you end with this bit. Now, I has arrived and this one was shifted, so this old machine that we first created is still waiting for a new letter, and this one is exactly I. So it remains active. 000100 when you enter. But there were no other active machines from before waiting for an I, so this one will disappear. But this one will exist. So it's ORI. Then we have a G. For G, the bit mask is 001000. See? Now, the status word 000100 indicates that this machine that was first created, we have processed three letters. Okay? It's still alive. And the others are dead, so they don't count. Now we shift that, eliminate the oldest machine. We shall have 001000. Or one create new machine waiting for an O. Always. This means always create a new machine waiting for an O. And end with a bit mask. This machine dies instantaneously because we are expecting a G, not an O. We have received a G. So this machine that expects an O, it dies. But we have shifted that, so the first machine that we created still matches. You see, O, R, E, I, G. So it will be the same one as this one. So the same position, so that will keep it alive. I has arrived, next letter, so that's the second I, you see? The bit mask is the same. The status word is this one. You shift by one, eliminate the oldest machine, so you get 010000. Then create a new machine waiting for an O, which dies because I has arrived. But there were some active machines waiting for an O still. The first machine that we created remains alive. G, no, N is now the last letter. That is the same as the pattern letter. So N, which has the bit mask 100000. So if we have a living machine on this position and N has arrived, it will remain alive. You see, and this is exactly what happens because D, the status word, the old one is 010000, we shift left first, which means eliminate the old machine, and this oldest machine now is still alive. Add the new machine waiting for an O with this OR, and end with the bit mask, which means if the machine has been alive and N has arrived, it will remain alive. Exactly what happens here, and now we test. We always test after this step. We test whether the first bit, the MSB, is 1. If it is 1, that means that we have found an occurrence because we have received O, R, I, G, I, N. That's exactly what we have looked for. So, very simple algorithm. You see, just two lines of code. But you have to understand, as I told you, how this works. Not to implement it mechanically. Now, the letters are still coming because our search string is original. So there are two letters to go. A has arrived. Of course, we never expect an A, so the bit mask of A is all zeros. So it will kill all the machines. Which means the status word was 100000. Eliminate the last the MSB because of this shift, it will be all zeros. Create a new machine waiting for an O with this OR. It will die because A has arrived. So end with all zeros, it will kill all the machines. No machine expected an A because the machine is related to the pattern that doesn't expect an A, that doesn't contain an A. So the search status word will be all zeros, and finally L, the same thing. But now we don't have anything to do because the search status word is already all zeros. Shift by one, create a new machine waiting for an O, and end with all zeros. When we end with all zeros, we get all zeros. So these two steps will be executed anyway, even though we have already found the pattern. because it may be that it is possible to find patterns many times, not just once. So it has to process the every character of the search string, not of the search pattern. Search pattern is usually shorter than the search string. So this is shift end, a very interesting and fast algorithm. Now do the same with shift or, which is even faster. There is no physical interpretation of shift or. You cannot say we have created this machine. You have to imagine something. And what you have to imagine is that everything is complemented regarding shift or. So if you complement the bit masks, so instead of 0 you have 1, instead of 1 you have 0, interpretation is the same, of course. Everything is the same. For the rest of the characters that are not in this set, the masks are all zeros, not all ones. All ones, not all zeros. In the beginning, the search status word is all ones, not all zeros. And we start processing, and the formula is different because now we don't need or with one. And instead of ending, we or with the bit mask. And we get the same result. So you can do that at home, and actually, this is on the slide 77. You see? And this 77 slides, I have changed this. So it was MSB equal to 1. It was copy-paste error that was copied from the shift end. So it should be MSB if MSB is equal to 0, because we have complemented everything. So it was a typographic mistake of this slide. I have uploaded a new error. So the slide 77 and the slide 110 have been changed. You will see 110. Something was missing on that slide. Initialization of the algorithm. So this is the shift or. This is our update formula, just shifting and oring with the bit mask. And with shift end, we have this. Shifting left, oring with one, and ending with the bit mask. But this has physical interpretation, as I told you. You always, by oring with one, you always create a new machine. When you process each character, you create a new machine running in parallel with the others, waiting for the first character of the pattern. In our case, it was O. Now, if this first character says really arrived, that character, it will remain alive. Otherwise, it dies immediately. Because after ending, this bit, the last bit, will become zero again. So that was our shift or example. So it's just to do the same as with shift end, the same result must be obtained. So the most significant bit now will be checked, but for zero, not for one. In this case, we get occurrence after origin, so we get this. Now let's look at a more complicated example where you have some misleadings to the algorithm. You see, our search pattern is gauge. G-A-U-G-E. Now that's the search pattern. And the search string, you see, is omega gauge. Now, the first time the algorithm gets to this position, G, the first G, it will match G-A, and then afterwards it will fail. You see? So we shall see what happens in this case. So it can be misled, but it will be solvable by means of this algorithm. So the same algorithm, shift N. From now on, we are going to execute shift N because it's intuitive, and unless I tell you to do shift OR, you will always do shift N if I say bit parallel, exact search. So in our case, we have letters G, A, U, and E. And to each of them, we assign a bit mask the same way as before. Now, for G, we have two positions. So it will be 0, 1, 0, 0, 1. You know that it is reversed, because this is history of machines created. So what does it mean? Active machines of the second and the fifth positions always wait for a G. That's why we can create a bit mask. Now for A, it will be 00010, for U, 00100, and for E, 10000. So for E, an active machine on the first position always waits for an E. That means this is historically the oldest machine, you see, which has, which is related to the first position. It was first created. So each time we have a shift, you see, it was first here and then there and there and there, and finally it gets here. And after that it is eliminated because our parallel machine has five parallel bits, no more. The length of the pattern. For the rest of the characters, the bit masks are zero. In the beginning, the search status word is all zeros, so we start processing our letters. The first one is O, omega gauge. Okay. So O, the corresponding bit mask is B of O is all zeros because O is not in this set. Okay. So what the algorithm does is, okay, eliminate the last, the firstly created bit, the oldest one, create a new machine by ORing with one. The new machine is waiting for the first character of the pattern, which is G. So the first machine is waiting for this machine that is first created is waiting for G. Now O has arrived, so it will be eliminated. Well, killed. All zero shifted by one, that's eliminating the first bit. Then the oldest bit. Then creating a new machine waiting for G, and then ending with a bit mask because O has arrived and its bit mask is O. So nothing will match O, because O is not in the pattern. Which means D will remain all zeros. Then M, the same thing, absolutely the same thing, because M is not in the set of the letters present in cage, so just the same. So the result must be all zeros. Then E. Now E is interesting because E is actually present in the pattern. Its bit mask is 10000. So what happens is the search status word is updated as usual. Shift by one to the left, eliminate the oldest machine, create the new machine by ORing with one. The new machine is waiting for a G, but an E has arrived, so you end with 10000, so it will still remain in all zeros. Even more interesting case is now when G arrives. Now this actually corresponds to the beginning of our pattern. So what will happen? The corresponding bit mask, of course, is 01001, and the search status word has to be updated. So we first shift left by one. It was all zeros, remains all zeros, but all with one. So the new machine that is created is waiting for a G, and the G has arrived. So by ending with this bit mask, we actually reflect this fact, and we get 000001. We get still one active machine after processing this character. Then A arrives, so it is good. That's what the algorithm thinks. Good, I was expecting an A, because I'm trying to match cage. Okay? So the bit mask is 00010. When you shift, this one comes here, you see, on the second position, waiting for exactly this character. Okay, and that's reflected by this ending, so we get 00010, still alive. The machine that was created previously. Now, another G arrives, that's complete surprise, so the algorithm will not be confused because it acts automatically. So, it says, okay, I am going to eliminate the oldest machine by shifting, it would be 00100. I'm going to create a new machine, ORing with one. The new machine is waiting for G, you see? It's waiting for G. And I end with the beatbox, which means the machine that was created previously and was matching G and A, now it is waiting for U. Because when it is shifted, when at this position, it is waiting for U. And U hasn't arrived, G has arrived. So it will be K. But the newly created machine, it will still be alive because G has arrived. The first machine, the new machine always expects the first character of the pattern, which is a G. Now A, the bit mask, shift this one, it will be waiting for, this one is going here, so it is waiting, this machine is waiting for an A. Produce a new machine, waiting for a G, A has arrived, this will be killed, but this remains. So it will be 00010. Then U, this machine goes here, and it will be here. The mask is also with one here, which means that it will remain alive. It was waiting for you. The others will be immediately killed because the new one is expecting a G. And U has arrived, then G arrives. You see? This is also interesting because now you shift the old statues word. It will be 01000 or with 1, so it will be 01001 exactly. And you are actually processing a G. So both machines that were expecting a G, they will be here. So it will be exactly 01001 after executing this. You see? Shift this, you will get 01000. Or with 1, you get 01001. Okay? And now, exactly these machines that are alive, they are expecting G's, and G has arrived. So everything remains, 01001. And finally, E. The bit mask must be this machine that is active. And it will exactly be like that because we shift this one. See? So 01001 shifted will be 10010, add 1. Well, add the machine, which means or with 1, it will be 10011, but an E has arrived, so this new machine will be killed, but also the others except of the last one. So, having 1 on the MSB of the status word D means this machine was first created here 5 bits ago, and it has survived all the subsequent letters and stays alive, which means it has recognized G, A, U, G, E in that order. So we have found our pattern, and by checking the most significant bit, we do this in the algorithm, we discover that. So I hope this is clear, so you understand how this works. Don't try to apply this algorithm mechanically. So I may give you this on the exam, but I'll ask you, why is this so? So the most important is to understand that 1 in some position of the status word means that this machine was created this many bits ago, and it has matched all the characters up to this point in that order. That's why it is 1, otherwise it would be 0. We are talking about this many machines going in parallel. Each time a new character arrives, we create a new machine waiting for the first character of the pattern. So that was about exact search. What remains is approximate search. We have half an hour. We might not finish everything today, but next time we'll
we should go through all these examples because they contain some computation that is important. So first of all, we discuss dynamic programming approach. So how can you match two strings? You can do it in two ways. One is by dynamic approach, dynamic programming approach, and the other is by final state machine approach. We are doing both. So first, dynamic programming approach. The pattern is annual, and the search string is annealing. Now, why do we use this? Because we would like to have not exact search, but approximate search with the tolerance given in advance. And this is this number k. So we allow up to two errors. There may be zero errors, one error, or two errors. So everything is accepted. So the difference, we may find annual, we may find, for example, anneal would be accepted because there is just one error, something like this. That and also anneally would also be accepted with two errors, but not more. So we are going to see that. How do we get this matching? We fill a matrix of this kind, where the rows in this matrix correspond to the search, to the letters of the search pattern, which is in our case annual, and the columns of this matrix, they correspond to the search string, which is annealing. Now, search string is usually very long, and search pattern is much shorter. So if you really want to match approximately in long search strings, you will have to use a lot of memory. So there is a workaround to that, and it turns out that you don't need the whole matrix, you just need the previous column, just two columns of it. But we are not going into these details. So there are efficient implementations of this. But if you do that, then you cannot backtrack. You cannot obtain the path to the last position, which is sometimes important, but not in search. Okay, the formula to get these values in this matrix, because we have to fill that, is given here. So we have had that in the class. So how to get this value at the coordinates ij? You see, you first check the diagonal. So it's t I minus 1 j I minus 1. So that's this element. So if we are testing this one, we are trying to compute this one. You can get here from here, or from here. So from the diagonal, from the same row, or from the same column. Now this one means the diagonal. So this is ij, then this is I minus 1, j minus 1. Okay? Now, if these two characters are the same that correspond to I and j position, then the value will not change because the cost of substitution is zero. Because it's substitution by the same symbol. So that's a simple case. Now, if they are not the same, then you have this case, you have to minimize. So which value will go here? The minimum of this one, and this one, plus one. Because the cost of the operation is, as we said, unless it is computational biology, it's always one. If you delete a symbol, it costs one. If you insert a symbol, it costs one. If you substitute a symbol, not by itself, but by some other characters, it costs one. In computational biology, substitutions matter. So A substituted by B is not the same as A substituted by C. But we are not in biology, so we don't care about this. So for us, it's always one. Now, we are going to compute a couple of values in this matrix, just to illustrate this principle. You see, this would be a substitution. This would be a deletion, and this would be an insertion. But you don't care, you just compute. So let's compute d of 1, 2. Now DO12,
this is 1, this is 2. So how do we get this one? First of all, the initialization. Before we can apply the formula, we must initialize the first row and the first column. It's not in the formula. If we are doing search, then the first row is always all zeros. That means that our search pattern can appear anywhere in the search string. If we are computing distance, that's not the case. Then we have some values here, but we don't care about this because we are doing search. So all zeros in the first row. Now regarding columns, the values here are always 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., etc. Why is that? Because this means the deletion. So if we delete A, we don't get it. We have to remove A, because here it's no symbol, you see, in the first column, in the zeroth column, actually. So this is deletion. The cost of deletion of A is 1. The cost of deletion of AN is 2. ANN 3. ANNU 4, etc., etc. So that's this. It's always the same. It's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until the length of the search pattern. So it's always like this. Now we are trying 1, 2. To the position 1, 2, you can get, according to the formula, from the three directions. 0, 1, that's diagonal. 0, 1, that will be from here. That's a substitution or a match, depending on whether these symbols are the same or not. Then 1, 1. 1, 1 is here, horizontal, that will be an insertion. And 0, 2, that will be a deletion. Now, for us, I is 1, J is 2, and V1 is not the same as S2, because it's V1 is A, and S2 is N. So we are not substituting with the same, so there is no match. So we have an ordinary substitution, which means the minimum of these three values, 0, 0, 0, but they are all 0, so the minimum is 0, so we add 1. So the value will be 1 on this position. Simple case. So check whether the symbols are the same, WI and SJ. If they are not the same, then take the minimum of these three values and add 1, and you get this value. So you do that with this, with everything in this matrix. Now, you cannot compute one element of the matrix before these three are present. That's why we are going this way, diagonally. The second example is where we have a match. For example, if we want to compute D of 2, 2. D of T 2, 0, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2. This one. You see? So it may be diagonal, it may be horizontal, it may be vertical. This is insertion, this is deletion. So we check first whether the WI is the same as SJ. So 2 and 2, you see? I is 2, J is 2, so W2 is the same as S2, and we can check that easily because we have 2 is n, you see, they are the same. Because of that, we get it automatically. So this value is actually this value, because the cost of the match is 0. We have a match here. Finally, the third example is 6, 7. So how do we get the cell number with coordinate 6, 7? 6 is here, and 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, this one. How do we get this? We get it as we check the diagonal, horizontal, and vertical. Okay? So we first check a match
whether it is a match. So we have W6 and S7, because the coordinates are 6, 7, so I6, J7. So is it the same? It's not. Because L and I, they are not the same. Okay? Because of that, you try minimum of these three values. 1, 2, and 3, obviously it's this one, and add 1. You get 2. Finally, since this is search, we have to determine which strings are acceptable. We are looking for annual, but we are having annealing. Annual is obviously not there at all. But we have search tolerance, and search tolerance is 2. K is equal to 2. So if we browse through the last row in this matrix, all these indicate the cost of transforming the whole pattern to some portions of the string. If you want to delete the whole pattern, that's 6. That will cost you 6. Because its annual is of length 6. Now if you want to transform it to an A, then you have to wipe these 5 characters, that will cost you 5, etc., etc. So for the subsequent examples, it's not that easy, because there are more combinations. How you can get A and N from annual, or any from annual, etc., etc. Now, what is acceptable? What is acceptable is 2 or 1 or 0. So if it were 0, then we would have exact match. Now, we are not having exact match because we have annual, and here there is no U at all in the search string. We have annealing. Okay? Because of that, we accept these three, because the value of the distance, because it's a distance, any distance, between annual and this portion of the string. In this case, it would be an E, A and an E, A. That's acceptable. 2 errors. Anneal, 1 error, obviously, if you substitute U. And annealee, that's 2 errors again. So this is acceptable. So we have approximate search accepting 2 errors. So to summarize, we must fill out the whole matrix to get these values. Once we do it, we can find out which substrings of this search string are acceptable for our pattern. That's approximate search. Now, that was the dynamic programming approach. And next time, since we are towards the end, we cannot finish the next example, but I'm just going to announce that. Let's do it with the final state machine. This is tricky, but this is faster. Because of that, it's interesting. And in addition, we can manipulate many things here, introduce constraints, etc., etc. It's not in the program, but this is useful to know. How we can do it with bits? It's much faster. It's the bit parallel version of the dynamic programming approach. Dynamic programming is quadratic complexity. That's slow. You have to fill in the whole matrix. And here you process the whole row of this matrix with one operation. Shift, end, or, etc., etc. So for every bit. So that's much faster. That's why it is good to have this approach. We simulate this NFA. The NFA would look like this. Our search pattern is annual, and you have the tolerance of 2. Because of that, the machine will have 2 plus 1 rows. The first one is no error. That's the zeroth row. Okay? The first row is 1 error. The second row is 2 errors. Okay, so we have 2 plus 1 rows, the zeroth, the first, and the second. Now, the transitions that are possible are horizontal, which is a match, vertical, which is an insertion, diagonal, solid, is a substitution with not the same character, it's not a match,
and the diagonal dashed is a division. So everything, this is a parallel machine, everything works in parallel. When a new character appears, all the active machines in this structure, they do transitions. And after that, some of them become inactive, some of them, new machines, become active, etc., etc. And we are going to execute this algorithm and see the most important, which machines are active after processing each symbol. And for the whole machine, we say the active states of this machine. Now this, even though this is a separate machine, the pattern matcher, we consider it a state in a big machine. And once one of these at the right hand column becomes active, then we have found a pattern. If this one in the zeroth row becomes active, that means the exact match. If this one in the first row becomes active, that's the match with one error. And here the match with two errors. So that's what we are going to do. This may be complicated, you will see, because the formula is complicated. Now the slide 110 was modified at this OR1, and the initialization was added. So this is the change. Now ORing with 1 works here, even though I don't like it. To explain why it is good to put 1, that would take us a long time. But even though in the literature this is not present, instead they put some discussions on the zeroth column, etc., etc. We don't care about this, but if we put OR 1, everything works fine. So if we have this part, that is a match, this part is insertion, this part is substitution, and this part is a deletion. Remember that here you have R prime, which means you have to wait until the previous row has been processed before you can process the next row. And this first formula is with no errors, it's exactly the same as shift N. That's the same. This is added. Initialization. As we said before, the zeroth row, no errors, that's all zeros. But R1, you have 1 in the rightmost column, R2, 2 ones in the rightmost column, R3, if possible, 3 ones, etc., etc. Why is that? It's because of the operation of the machine that is parallel, and it turns out when this machine is active, then all this part must be active, the whole part. Now even that is interesting, because we have now to track 6 positions and not 7. So this one is always 1, these 3, the leftmost column, so we never use it in our calculations, just these ones. That's why we have all zeros here, 1 here, and 2 ones in this column, because this part is always active. That's because of this loop that is present. Matches any character, then if this matches any character, then it is immediately inserted, and once it is immediately inserted here, it will be inserted here as well, etc., etc., so these will always be active. Okay, that will be all for today. It's a bit tricky, you know, but if you concentrate, you will understand. If you have any questions, let me know, so I'll try to explain again. So next time, we are going to do this example in details. If you do that at home and discover some typographic mistake, or you think that something is wrong, let me know, because it might be the copy-paste of these bits that I have messed something, but I don't think so. We shall see. Thank you.
it works, even though it always says that the sound doesn't work. Fortunately, it works.
Okay, we can switch off it.